First of all, I'd like to thank Taylor and you, the class of 2003, for asking me, I have to put on my glasses. Last time I did this, I didn't need these. For asking me to give this talk, I feel greatly honored. I've been teaching now for 39 years. I have one or two more to go before I finally put down the chalk and stop talking. Great relief, I'm sure, to many people. But in the meantime, I have a few things to say about the Mighty Reach and some of the people I've known here. And this could very well be my last opportunity. For me, a kind of a swan song. I prepared several different versions of this talk, but the death of Reese made them inadequate. More than anything, I feel compelled to try and say to you something that is both honest and true. Your future, my future, is one of the great mysteries. I suspect this universe of ours knows exactly what it's doing and is unfolding exactly as it needs to for those of us to learn the lessons we are here to learn. Perhaps the cliche that character is fate applies. In the end of all, we end up being ourselves with our own problems, our own unique talents, our own particular points of view. John Kabat-Zinn wrote a very famous book about that with a very insightful title, Wherever You Go, There You Are. What can I say to you that has some truth to it? Henry David Thoreau wrote, you know I was going to get Thoreau into it, in the opening pages of that fantastic book, Walden, I require of every writer, first, last, a simple and sincere account of his own life, not merely what he has heard of other men's lives. So I'm going to give you a simple and sincere account of my life. Don't panic. I mean specifically what I have been feeling over the last several weeks. And as it happens for me, what I feel is much more important than what I think. And what I have been feeling recently is confusion. I feel some anger with and about Reese and this conflicted situation we find ourselves in of sorrow and joy. Why Reese? Why now? Why so many other young people I've cared about? Marsha, Colleen, Naomi, Joelle, Peter, Michael, perhaps most painfully for me personally, Brandon Santucci. But deeper and more consuming than that, I saw this among you last Tuesday morning in the parking lot after the funeral. There is a profound sense of sorrow. This graduation is a defining moment in your lives. For most of you, it's childhood's end. At the very least, it marks the end of signing in and out of the toilet. Reese's loss is part of this moment for most of us. It always will be. And this moment helps define for us something about our personal selves, our views of life, and its possible meaning. Ryan Johnson, our famous videographer, saw me in the cafeteria the morning after the accident. He spoke briefly about what he was feeling, and he offered his take on the situation. He said, "Well, Falls, Reese is with Jesus, waiting for the rest of us. He just got there first." I offer for those of you who mourn, those of us who mourn Reese, the consolation of Tennyson's great poem, In Memoriam. He wrote the poem as he was dealing with the death of his very close friend, Arthur Hallam, just a few years older than Reese. I can but trust that good shall fall at last, far off at last, to all, and every winter change to spring. So runs my dream. And now for those words that I personally find very frightening. But what am I? An infant crying for the light, an infant crying in the night with no language but a cry. Tennyson worked through his grief. Later in that poem, he wrote his most famous lines. This truth came born with beer and Paul. I felt it when I sorrowed most. 'Tis better, to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. I am also feeling quite a lot of nostalgia and perhaps some sense of apprehension. As you know, a good number of my peers are retiring in just 10 days. Those of us aging veterans left behind will move on within the next several years. 3 years from now, as our school emerges grand and glorious, the old guard will pretty much have passed away. So I take this opportunity to salute my comrades. Is Maxine Ballou, Department Chair of World Languages, who for years did yeoman service to the Teachers Association. John Brouillard, with whom I was at Holy Cross, who from the confines of his glass office up on H Corridor is responsible for all those schedules and, yes, report cards that you got. Mark Green, the Science Department Chairman, a true lover of the outdoors, especially if it's off the coast of Maine. John Dunn wrote famously, "No man is an island," but he never met Mark Green. Frank Gately is retiring from the Science Department, affectionately known as the Birdman of Algonquin, responsible for, among other things, the bluebird boxes you see in front of you. There's Sandy Plord, my neighbor on C Corridor, the esteemed and lively teacher of economics, who has tolerated the chaos coming out of C-11 all these years. Closer to me, closer to home, Bruce Rettman, the English department chairman. I have never worked with a department chairman more supporting of his teachers. He is a dedicated defender of the freedom of speech. Bruce is a major loss to Algonquin. He's a major loss to our advanced placement program. And then, of course, the Bob. Bob Boberg. It's difficult for me to say this, to know really what to say. Where would Batman be without Robin? Or Pancho without Cisco? Or Tonto without the Lone Ranger? Where will the Foles be without Bo? My wife, Elizabeth Foley, is retiring, or she prefers to think of it, graduating from the Northborough schools. She spent the last 21 years mostly at Peasley, teaching young people the joy of song. Over the years, it's been really neat for us to share our thoughts and stories about our students. I knew you from a long time ago, some of you. She worked with you early on, I later. We both hope we have given something of ourselves to you and served you well. For my peers, I offer from Tennyson again his poem, Ulysses, the perfect poem for this particular stage in our journey. To follow knowledge like a shining star, beyond the utmost bounds of human thought. 'Tis not too late to seek a newer world, though much is given, much abides, though we are not now that strength which in days of old moved heaven and earth. That which we are, one equal tenor of heroic heart, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. I'm also feeling profoundly grateful. Grateful beyond measure that I have spent most of my professional life among you, the graduating class of 2003, the underclassmen whom I've taught, and the many, many, many alumni that I've known. I have been here at Algonquin for 33 years. I teach more than 200 students each year. I get new students with each semester. In fact, that means that more than 6,000 of you have passed through C-11. Many of my present students are the siblings or very